Let us give an attentive heart to the reading and preaching of God's word as He calls us to do it. Word of God says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the opening of the gates of the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm. When your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of the fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. This is the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Now, those of you who are moms here, mothers of the congregation, if you have a little one, maybe you can relate to this episode when sometimes it happens that the toddler, it's just around, it's playing around, and you look to the other side. And when you look back, the toddler has just licked his finger and it's putting his finger into the power outlet. And as you see that situation, as you see that picture, what do you do? Do you whisper to the toddler and says, hey, child, don't do this? Do you start a lecture to the toddler on the conductive properties of copper, on how the toddler will be electrocuted if he touches a conductive material that is energized? Of course not. You don't do this. You cry out. You scream. And you say, no, don't do this. Stop. Look at me. Don't touch the power outlet. And you do this because this is a situation of life and death. It could be a matter of life and death. The toddler could die. Well, here in our text, we find a similar energetic call which also deals with matters of life and death. Here we have the call of Christ. Christ Himself, as wisdom, appealing for the soul of sinners. These are Christ's appeals for the sinner's souls, indeed. And here, different than the situation with the toddler, in which there is a chance that the toddler could die. Here, if you fail to listen to Christ's calls, if you fail to listen to His appeals for your soul, Christ tells you today from His word, you will certainly, you will surely die. Therefore, it is important, therefore, that we give heed to Christ's words here today. And in our text, we will be looking at this truth that Christ appeals for the sinner, for the sinner's souls in two points. First, Christ cries out for our lives. The second point, that Christ rebukes against deadly refusal. And we're going to see in this message today the simple truth that in listening to Christ's call, there is life and security. But in refusing Christ, there's death and destruction. I'll say this again. In listening to Christ's call, there's life and security. But in refusing His call, there's death and destruction. And this we see very clearly from verses 20 through 33 of Proverbs 1 that we're dealing with today. Here, verses 20 through 23 is the first section in which we find Christ's appeal for the soul of sinners. And here, it's really an invitation. He's not rebuking it. He is inviting people in. The text starts by saying that wisdom calls aloud. Wisdom cries out. There are four elements in this call here. First of all, it's a personal call. A personal call. Notice that wisdom here is portrayed not like an ability, not like a virtue, like it is in other parts of the book of Proverbs. Even in Proverbs chapter 1, if you go a little back in verse 1 through 4, there's the introduction of the book, and it says that the purpose of this book, these Proverbs of Solomon, they're written so that those who read would know wisdom, instruction, so that they would perceive words of understanding. Wisdom in here, it's really the idea of ability, the ability to live for God. It is a virtue. It is a good characteristic, a good attribute that we are to seek in God. But wisdom in verse 20 is a person. And there are debates and discussions about this, but I'll just state it here that wisdom is Christ, and that we see this in the New Testament, that this is not just a personification of a divine attribute, as many people argue, but that this is Christ Himself. This is a title for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that even in the New Testament, as you look into texts like, for example, Luke 11:49, just to look at this one briefly, Luke 11:49, there's Christ attributing this to Himself. He calls Himself wisdom. This, and you can look at the parallel text in Matthew 23:34. If you are looking into your pew Bibles, you will see that you have a lot of red words here, which are, well, the words of Christ. Luke 11:49 says, "Therefore the wisdom of God also said," and the verb could as well be translated as says, "I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute." And if you look into Matthew 23:34, the parallel text, it's very clear that these are the words of Christ Himself. No one has ever found a book called The Wisdom of God that has this quote. Christ is saying, "I am the wisdom who says this." And even the text that we have used for our assurance of pardon, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, speaks to this identification of Christ as the wisdom of God. Many other arguments could be drawn here, but I want to be brief. And I just want to highlight here that this is indeed a personal call. This is Christ calling out for sinners. But this is also, notice, a universal call. Christ is calling as wisdom, as a title for Christ. And by the way, don't let the fact that wisdom is a feminine word distract you from the fact that this is Christ. Many of the abstract words in Hebrew, they are in the feminine. It's just the way that the language works. In Portuguese, we have sun as a masculine word and moon as a feminine word. It doesn't mean that the sun is a boy and the moon is a girl. It's just the way that languages use abstract words sometimes. But here, this is not only a call from Christ Himself, but this is a public call, a universal call, directed to everyone, everywhere. Christ, as wisdom, is calling outside in the open squares, in the chief concourses, in the gates of the city. Christ is going where you are. He's going after men where they are to find them and to reach them and to make them listen to the words of wisdom. And not only that, this is directed to all kinds of men. Notice that in the call of wisdom, in the call of Christ as wisdom here in verses 22 and 23, it says that, "How long, you simple ones, rule of simplicity, for scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge." Verse 22 only gives us this picture that there are three kinds of people here. And if you study the book of Proverbs, you will see that these are three different words for the foolish person. The scorner is in the end of the spectrum. He is a mocker. He's someone that is rebelling against God. But there's also the simple one, which is the gullible one. He can go either way. He hasn't been committed to an act of rebellion against God yet, but he just doesn't care about God. And there's the fool, which is really a general word that encompasses both and could be someone anywhere in the spectrum or in the middle. Christ is calling every kind of people in every place. But this is also an urgent call. Notice that Christ says, with the words of urgency that this call needs to reach men. He is arguing with men. He's trying to persuade men to come to him. As he says, how long? How long will you dwell on this? There has been a long time since those foolish, those simple people have been dwelling in their foolishness. And Christ is saying, just look at your life. How long will this last? There's an urgency, even in the fact that this is a cry. This is a calling aloud, as verse 20 says. This has a raising of the voice, as verse 20 places. And really, the illustration of the toddler with the power outlet serves as well here. If there's something important, if it is a matter of life and death, you won't take it lightly as you advise people. If you have a friend, if you have a daughter, a son, a family member that is going on a bad way, that's really walking the path of death, you will have some energy, you will have some urgency in the call. But this is, more importantly, a gospel call. Notice verse 23. Turn at my rebuke. Turn, the main Old Testament word for repentance. In the Old Testament, the word for repentance is often turn. And it really portrays that idea that we find in the New Testament as well. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, in which the apostle tells the Thessalonians to turn unto God, away from idols. This is repentance. This is Christ calling for repentance and with a promise of the Spirit and the Word being poured out on men. Therefore, we find here in this first section of the verse very clearly a call. The application follows very directly because this call is not just for Old Testament readers. This call is for us today. And we are to listen to Christ's words, to Christ's call. First of all, His words of free grace. Notice that the wisdom of this world, the wisdom that this world offers to us, is often deceptive. It is always deceptive, actually, and it is often restricted to a special group. Sometimes you have some particular religions that they have this illumination from this angel from above. Christ's call for foolish sinners is not restricted. It goes everywhere. The world says that we need to find wisdom in a special revelation, in a special group, that only certain people know the truth. Nowadays, we have seen some of this with the scientificism that has taken over our culture. People think that they can find in science alone wisdom. This is not true. But sometimes there are some religions and some philosophies as well in this world that call us to find wisdom inside us. If you just search inside yourself long enough, you will find truth. Well, Christ's words here of free grace, these words of the call of Christ also speak against this. Wisdom is to be found in the person of Christ, not in a special enlightened group, not in looking inside. It is outside of you, specifically in the person of Christ. And this call has been echoing throughout the Scripture. It's the same call that you will find later on. It's a personal call that you find later on in the Gospels when Christ calls those foolish sinners that have been burdened by the burden of their foolishness, by the burden of their sin. And He says to every man, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't this particularly what sin does to us? Burdens us. Makes us weary. It overtakes us with false promises of prosperity, pleasure. But here is Christ speaking to His people, speaking to foolish men so that they would become His people, and telling them, how long will you dwell on this foolishness? And here are the words of Christ are also of amazing grace because they are directed to every kind of man. Notice that this text really teaches us that there's no one beyond hope. The call of Christ goes at the same time to the simple one who is a gullible person, but it goes also to the scoffer, to those people that we ourselves look and we think this person would never be saved. He is a mocker of God. He's a scoffer. He has done so many sins. He has committed so many sins. He has such a scandalous life. He is a mocker. But Christ says, he promises us, in verse 23, if you turn at my rebuke, surely, surely, I will pour out my Spirit on you. There is hope even for the greatest of sinners. Wasn't this Paul? Wasn't this David? Isn't this every and each one of us as we just admit our foolishness in the sight of Christ? But here, there's, again, and I have just mentioned this in verse 23, there's an encouragement. There's an encouragement for us to take heed of this call. So many Christians, they try to live the Christian life as if Christ helps you with your conversion, he saves you, and then from there on, you are on your own. This is not true. Listen, the turn at the rebuke is connected to the pouring out of the Spirit and the making of the words known to the person. Here's their encouragement for you, Christian, to keep heeding this call again and again when Christ calls you for rebuke. And here's the encouragement for you that are not Christian, to listen to Christ's call. He will give you of His Word and of His Spirit. In order, as you turn unto Him, He doesn't leave you to yourself, but He gives of His Spirit to make you live. And He makes His words understandable to you. You are able to understand and to live by His words, by His power. This is a call not only for conversion, but it is a call for living a whole life in the sight of God, empowered by Christ. And this is really the promise that we find as well in the New Testament, in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. I want to read this briefly to you. John chapter 14. This is Christ promising the Holy Spirit. And what an encouragement it is to know that we are not alone as we turn unto Christ. There are many battles, but we are not alone, because He says to His people, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then He says, and I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Christian, here's your comfort, to listen to Christ's voice every time that He speaks to you through His Word. And those of you that haven't heard the call of Christ yet, here's your comfort. This is what you will have if you listen to Him. But the question is, have you listened to this call? Have you listened to this call? Evaluate yourself by the words of this text. This is another way of looking at this text, because it really shows us some of the characteristics from verses 20 through 23 of those that listen to Christ's calls. First of all, have you acknowledged that you are a fool with fault Christ? And in acknowledging that you are a fool without Christ, that without Christ you will be always jumping around from worldly wisdom to worldly wisdom, trying to find satisfaction in this, this, and that, filled with all the empty promises, listening to all the wrong voices, have you forsaken your foolishness? Not only acknowledge it, but forsaken it. Have you delighted in giving heed to the call of Christ? Listen, He's calling persuasively. He's calling here with gentle care. Before coming with the warnings, He's just calling for you to come before you face the consequences. Do you have the Spirit of Christ? Do you know the Word of Christ? Verse 23 describes those are as marks of those that have turned unto Christ. Those that turn at the rebuke of Christ have the Spirit poured out and the words known. Are you one of those that have listened to Christ's call or not? And if you have not, here are Christ's warnings for you. This is what we find in our second point, Christ's warnings. And here are the warnings against deadly refusal. From verses 24 until verse 32, there's a strong note of warning before the conclusion in 33. And here we find from verses 24 through 33, First of all, the sin of the fools. Look with me at the text. Verse 24 and 25 describe to us that Christ has called and men have refused. I have stretched out, Christ says, my hand, no one regarded. And they disdained the counsel. And why is this? We find the answer in verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The heart, in the heart of foolishness, there's rebellion. And here's the sin of the fool. Why is the fool a foolish person? Because he says in his heart, there is no God. By refusing the wisdom of Christ, by refusing the call of the beloved, everyone will incur in judgment. Notice that verses 26 on until verse 28 speak of the judgment that will befall upon those that refuse Christ. And the language here from verses 26 through 28 is not the language of, if something happens with you, then I won't help. It's the language of when. Notice that verses 26, 25 on, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, not if. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Why? Because they hated knowledge. You see, this is a very important text in the book of Proverbs. Actually, Proverbs 1 through 9 serves as a theological introduction to the rest of the book. A lot of the rest of the book from chapter 10 on will deal with the how of wise living. But here is the heart of wise living, the fear of the Lord, living in Christ. But the consequences of rejecting Christ are also explained here in this section. And again, this is not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. This is speaking of eschatological death. It's speaking about the judgment that will come in the end. It's not just terrors that might come in our life period. It's not just the terrors of losing a job or losing a family member, which can be terrible, or having tragedies befall upon us in this earthly life. But this is speaking about the end times, the end judgment. This is the irony that you find, for example, in the story of the rich man, the parable of the rich man that you find in Luke 11, that that man was living an abundant life. There were no terrors. There were no calamities upon his life. But the terror came when he died, and he saw his eternal destiny. And here, this is all summarized in verse 31. Verse 31 says, therefore, they, the foolish men, shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fences. It's the same truth that you find in Galatians 6, 7, when the Word of God says, be aware, God is not mocked, but whatever man sows, that he shall reap. It's the law of sowing. Every man will have to give account to how he has answered to this call of Christ sometime. There will be a time of judgment. And the destiny of the fool and the wise is summarized here in verses 31 and 32. They eat of the fruit of their way, the law of the sowing, but and the turning away of the simple will slay them, the accomplices of the fools will destroy them. But in contrast, the destiny of the wise that listen to Christ's call so that they become wise is that they dwell safely and they are secure without any fear of evil. Now, here are Christ's warnings for us today. The first thing we have to notice here is that ignoring Christ is a choice. It is a choice. And if you or me, if we ignore Christ, we are being foolish. We are being this fool man that Christ is calling upon. And we will be met with judgment. What an irony that as foolish men ignore Christ, in the last day Christ will ignore them. What an irony that as they fail to seek Christ, when they start to seek Him, Christ will mock them as they mocked him. These are strong words, right? These are strong words. It's the same dynamic we find there in Psalm chapter 2. Be wise, O rulers, O kings. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Therefore, we are called here. We are called here to acknowledge the different kinds of follies that we have been living by. Again, the parable of the rich man in Luke 12, actually, not Luke 11. That man, he accumulated everything that he could. He lived a plenteous life. He had pleasures, he had money, he had comfort. But in the last day, in the day before his death, how did Christ describe him? Oh, you foolish man. You have gained the whole world only to lose your soul. Only to lose your soul. And the question is, those of you who are sitting today in this local church, in these church pews, have you been living like that? Now, don't take yourself out of the hook too quickly because you are a church person, because you come to church regularly, because you have well-behaved children, because you are married, because you don't have any scandalous sins. There are many people in the church pews that are foolish, like Christ says here. Why? Because they might have an outward veil of religion, but they still live for things of the world. They haven't really turned unto Christ. They really don't know the Spirit of Christ. They don't understand the Word of Christ. They just have an outward appearance of religion. Isn't this what Christ says in Matthew 7? In the end of the Sermon on the Mount, many in the end day, in the last day, will come unto me. And they will say, Lord, Lord, we have cast out demons. We have performed many miracles. We have done this, this, and that. Judas Iscariotis, the greatest example of the foolish man. And Christ doesn't deny that they have done any of that, those things. He doesn't say, you are a liar, you didn't do any of this. What does he say? I don't know you. Depart from me, your workers of iniquity, your evildoers. And why is this? Because despite an outward religion, they didn't give heed to the call of Christ. They didn't come to him, to the person of Christ, to the one who was calling them to come to him. So here's the warning. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to his words. Listen to his call before it is too late. There is grace available for you. Here's another encouragement. Proverbs 3:34 really summarizes that whole passage when the Word of God says, surely he, God, the Lord, scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. Now, we have been talking about how this is a salvific call and many things here in this text, but why is this a salvific call? Why is this a gospel call? How can we be sure that what Christ promises comes to pass? Well, because Christ takes the condemnation of the fool in his own flesh. Look at the description of the foolish man and what he will come to pass if he rejects the call of Christ. Are these elements here, are these things, the very same things that Christ endured? Christ was the one that endured the greater calamity. Verse 26 speaks about this calamity. He was the one that endured the great anguish of terror, sweating blood in the Gethsemane with the expectation of suffering, having the sins of the whole world upon his shoulders. Christ was the one that had the terrors of hell upon him as he was crushed in that Roman cross. As Christ sought for help, for some comfort from the Father, what was his response? Silence. Complete silence. Ignored. Christ was mocked by sinful men, spitted upon. The anguish of his soul was there in him. He indeed, to use the words of verse 31, ate of the fruit of the ways of the fools. And he did all of this so that you would have none of it. This is how this is a salvific call. Christ suffered it all for us. The destiny of the wicked, of the foolish man that rejects Christ, and all the things that are promised to befall upon the foolish man that rejects Christ, they befall upon Christ himself. So that by paying for our sins, by taking our place, the place of this foolish man, and of every foolish man and woman here who has turned unto him, he would make us wise. He would make us saved by his blood. He suffered the destruction of the fool to bring salvation to us. So here is your confidence, Christian. Here is your confidence. When you lack wisdom, look at the one who is the source of wisdom, who not only exemplifies to you what is to be a wise man, but enables you to live wise lives. Because he has paid for your sins. He has made the way for you to come to God. And now he calls you again. Come to him again and again and again. Listen to his call for your salvation. From all that you have heard today, be certain, Christ calls each and every one of you particularly today. Man, woman, child, elder, each and every one of you are being called by Christ here. He pleads for your soul. He warns you against the terrors of judgment, but he comforts you in suffering those very effects of judgment upon himself so that you can come to him. As we come to the end of this message, let us hear his own words. In Matthew 7, 24 through 27, he gives a last warning and call. After the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Therefore, listen to Christ today. Turn from the way of foolishness, and you will have true life and security, as he promises to you in his word. Amen. Now let us pray. O Lord our God, we come and plead that you would turn our hearts unto you. We come and plead that you, beloved Christ, would give us true wisdom in you, that we would know you, that you would pour of your Spirit abundantly upon us, that you would teach us to understand your word profoundly and deeply, to live the simple lives in the house, being a faithful Christian on a daily basis by your strength, by your power. I plead, Lord, with you, and I ask that you would save the souls of those men and women, children, elderly people, whoever it might be, that haven't heard your call yet, that you would bring conviction, that you would work out conviction through your Holy Spirit in the souls of man today. Lord, we also plead as Christians that you would strengthen us as we are surrounded by so many lies in this world, as we are, Lord, tempted by many things, that you would give us true wisdom to live by your word and spirit, that you would strengthen us, that you would comfort and encourage us by knowing that you have solved our biggest problem in the cross. You have died for the sins of sinners. You have resurrected to give us life. It is with this confidence that we pray, asking that you would apply your word to our hearts. Amen.